and I am representing the organization El Pueblo in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And I am Maria Gonzalez, representing Student Action with Farm Workers from Durham, North Carolina.
What we're going to do today is called No Room at the End, is what the event is titled. It's a reenactment of when Mary and Joseph were trying to find a place to settle in, and they found no room. No one accepted them, and that's what we're doing today. We're showing how immigrants here in North Carolina are not accepted, not wanted, and we're here because I have many youth. I am a youth program coordinator, and I have many youth who struggle to receive a higher education because of their status. And here in North Carolina, if you are an undocumented student, you have to pay three times more. You have to pay out-of-state tuition. No matter your GPA, no matter your grades, you have to pay out-of-state, which is three to four times more than regular students. And that's a shame. It's a shame, and I'm very unjust. And North Carolina is an unjust state when it comes to undocumented students. Yeah. So we're here today gathered to reenact this moment.
And now to offer a prayer and blessing for the program that's coming up is Assistant Pastor of Poland Memorial Baptist Church, Reverend Shalise Overy.
Let us pray. God, our mother and our father, the one who cares about all your children, we are thankful to be gathered here today for this purpose, to show up, to be seen, to take space in a world that often does not want to make space. God, we thank you today that even during this season, this Christian season of Advent, we are reminded of Mary's song. We're reminded that you lift up those who are lowly and you humble those who are in high places. And so we still believe that your power is available to do those things for us. And so we thank you for the strength of those who are gathered today, for the strength of those who continue to press and push for equality, that they might be able to have access to the things that everyone else has access to. And so we go forward in that strength. We ask that you would bless our time here together, but ultimately bless our efforts, Lord, that those who are hard of hearing might hear, that their hearts might be turned toward a compassionate stance, to do what is right, to love like you love, and that in this season, the Christ child would not be the only child that we adore, but that we would extend our hearts to love and adore, to make space and promote the well-being of all children. Amen.
Amen.
You people just don't give up, do y'all? I'm so tired of these brown people trying to get into our country for free. Y'all don't deserve it. Y'all are dirty criminals that are bringing rape and horrible things to this country. Don't y'all understand that we don't want you here? We don't want you guys here. We want to keep you dumb. We don't want you to go to school. We want you guys to be dead to us.
Excuse me, Senator. Step aside. If we didn't defeat you on November the 6th, we got a target on you in 2020. Good afternoon. I am Mark Joel, an elementary school teacher from Guilford County, Oak Hill Elementary School. I was very proud to have 16 different nationalities and ethnicities in my school and in my classrooms, and a very diverse student population. I'm very proud currently to serve as president of the State North Carolina Association of Educators, and very proud to serve as education chair of the North Carolina NAACP. I'm very proud to be here with El Pueblo youth leaders, our partners from the North Carolina Poor People's Campaign, the North Carolina NAACP, the North Carolina Asian Americans, and the Student Action for Farm Workers, and our other colleagues that stand up for all of our students in North Carolina. As a public school teacher in North Carolina representing 95,000 educators, I visit classrooms and talk with students, and I talk with teachers, and I talk with parents all the time. And there is one thing that is evident, and is that in North Carolina, we are falling well short of our goal of equal access and equal opportunity for all of our students.
Tell them, Mark.
How much money your family makes, what your zip code you live in, or your immigration status should not be the determining factor in your chances of success in the North Carolina public education system. It is simply unconscionable that we live in a time in politics where we are forced to ask local school boards to pass safe zone policies so our students are not snatched right out of school or at the bus stop. It is simply unacceptable that students who have lived here most of their lives, paid taxes in North Carolina, and are subjected to prohibitive out-of-state tuition when they are trying to make a better life for themselves and the North Carolina community as part of productive citizens. Nearly 40,000 students and hundreds of high school graduates each year are barred from going to college because of out-of-reach costs. Tuition can be four times as much higher as in-state tuition. And this is about squashing someone's dreams, not helping them make it happen, which is what we as educators strive to do every day. This requirement in North Carolina is prohibitively and unnecessarily expensive. At UNC Chapel Hill, for instance, tuition and fees for full-time in-state undergrads amount to $8,898 a year. But for our out-of-state students and our dreamers here in North Carolina, they must pay $34,188. This makes it nearly impossible for our dreamers to attend college and university and have access to a better quality of life. NCAE urges a Republican-controlled General Assembly to join their Democratic counterparts to support legislation to allow our immigrant students to achieve the American dream.
That's right.
You see, everyone behind me here is part of America. And don't you ever let anybody tell you otherwise. Joining us in helping make dreams happen by ensuring an equal opportunity and equal access to public education. Let's open the door for opportunity and slam the door shut on our students.
That's right.
Next up, I'm introducing a parent, a community leader, Olga Romero with El Pueblo. Olga.
So I'm Olga's daughter, Leslie. Hold the mic. Okay. I'm Olga's daughter, Leslie, and I'm a junior in high school right now. And this law really affects me because it's not fair that other students have to pay. Thank you. That other students have to pay three times as much. When we've been here all our life, so it's not fair. I feel like if we remove this law, it'd help me, for example. It'd help me not just have a certain college list where I could choose from. I could choose from many more instead of just a selective amount. That's about it, but I feel like we should really help out those in need, that you shouldn't be able to discriminate someone just because of their legal status. And that's about it. We just want equal access to a better education and to an equal
education. The Bozada is getting ready to move.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, holy night.
Okay. See us before you leave.
Okay.
Let's just wait.
Reverend Sadler, I think they had this. Okay, never mind.
What?
Let's just stay on this.
Governor, my name is Jessica Lynn, and I am with NCAT, the North Carolina Asian Americans Together Group. Earlier last week, more than 30 Cambodian immigrants and refugees were deported from the U.S. to a place they have never known. And the threat to immigrant and refugee communities will only get worse if we do not stand together.
Turn the volume up on the...
One in every seven Asian immigrants is undocumented, and all should have equal access to public education in the state that we all call home.
Yes.
As a former public school teacher in Guilford County, I had the privilege of working with so many dedicated, hardworking students. It breaks my heart to think of undocumented students in North Carolina not being able to pursue their dreams and their goals because of financial hardship. In North Carolina, out-of-state tuition can be up to four times as expensive as in-state tuition.
Yay!
These are students who have been North Carolinians for most of their lives and have paid taxes and have attended high schools here. Their parents, like my parents, came to this country to pursue their dreams of opportunity, of education, of possibility, and a better future. These young people are our future. And we must do what we can to support them in attaining the education they will need.
That's right. Come on.
We must not place undue financial burdens on their shoulders as they seek to advance their goals. I am a product of North Carolina's public school system and also of the North Carolina public university system. You. Young people in North Carolina deserve the same educational opportunities that I had. My parents stress the importance of education, just as the parents of these young people stress the importance of education. We tell students to work hard, to study, and to keep an eye on their future goals. And then we pull the rug out from under them, telling them that what they have accomplished isn't good enough, that there isn't room for them in our public educational system in our state, that they cannot receive in-state tuition, even though they have lived here so many years of their lives. We need to open the door to future opportunities wide. We need to join the ranks of at least 20 other states and DC in passing laws that guarantee tuition equity for all students. We need to welcome our undocumented dreamers in with open arms. Come in and learn. Come in and have a seat at the table. We need you and your talents here, and we want you to access the knowledge to help you succeed.
Our work should equip the next generation of women to outdo us in every field.
That's right, yes.
This is the legacy we'll leave behind. Progress, a poem by Rupi Kaur. This poem makes me think a lot. I wonder if this is where our country is. I wonder if this is where our state is. The question asks, what are we doing to allow the next generation, my generation, to succeed? We are here today to demand that North Carolina allow those who are undocumented or recipients of DACA to pay in-state tuition for college. I'll start with some numbers. In North Carolina, there are 53,000 undocumented immigrants between the ages of 16 to 24. There are about 25,100 dreamers in North Carolina. This number is a statistic, and this number cannot truly capture the sheer number of people who are just asking for a chance. I wonder if our General Assembly can recognize just how many people are truly dependent on this legislation for their futures. My name is Raina Lee, and I am a second generation Korean American. Thank you. It's something that I'm proud of. And I think about the suffering and the indignities that my parents have faced. Being treated as perpetual foreigners in this country. And my father speaks often about his time at university. And I know how much it has shaped his life. Going to college as a first-generation immigrant, my father is now a lawyer who helps other people through the legal process to gain citizenship. But I know that not everyone is granted this opportunity that he's had. Right now, we have an American dream that is not functioning. Legislators and those in power claim that we live in a country where anything is achievable through hard work. But those without power understand that this idea is used to blame the poor, yes. The undocumented, yes. And the marginalized, yes. For their situations, even when their situations are enforced by systematic imbalances. So to the North Carolina General Assembly, how can you claim to believe in the American dream when you will not allow all of us to access a college education? Not having tuition equity universally shows that our state and our country is entrenched in the idea of an us versus them mentality. Some believe that there is only one group that can be called American, that there is only one group that can claim this country as home, and that there is only one group who deserves privilege and opportunity. And to that, we say, how dare you? To not have tuition equity is to effectively say that there is only one group who deserves the right to education. And that's not how rights work.
That's right.
Education is a right, and rights are granted to us just by the nature of our humanities. We know that the voices of children asking for the chance to learn is ringing through the halls of the North Carolina State Legislature. Now the question arises to our elected officials, are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I am so incredibly inspired by young people. We are sending a message that we want to stake a claim in how our world is being shaped around us.
That's right.
We are sending a message that we are the deciders of the direction that our state and our country are taking. We are sending a message that we support our brothers and sisters in accessing their futures. And we are sending a message that we want a future that we are all a part of. My heart leapt when I saw that today's march was organized by countless organizations, El Pueblo, the NAACP, Poor People's Campaign, NCAT, and countless more. And in my AP English class, my teacher, Miss Nation, helped us analyze Dr. King's letter to Birmingham Jail. And in it, he says, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality."
That's right.
"Tied in a single garment of destiny."
That's right.
"Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly."
That's right.
"Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea."
That's right.
"Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider."
Yeah.
"Anywhere
right.
within its bounds."
That's
"We stand together in support of the undocumented and with dreamers. We are here to say that there is no insider and outsider. We are here to say that we are with you and that we stand for you. The time for government complacency is over. The 2018 midterms may have just ended, but 2020 is fast approaching. This is a message to the North Carolina General Assembly. It is time for inequity to end. Our children cannot access their futures, and the key to their futures lies in tuition equity. So to our elected, listen to your constituents. Listen to the communities who are asking you to stand on the right side of history.
That's right.
I would like to end with one more poem by Rupi Kaur. Thank you. "The world gives you so much pain, and here you are making gold out of it. So to everyone here marching, thank you for making gold today."
Immigrants, they are all around us in every corner of America. They come from towns, cities, and villages whose names are foreign on our tongues, stripping away their identities in order to become a part of the nation that is the United States. They leave behind their livelihood in search of bigger, better opportunities, such as free education, employment, and housing. My name is Zuha Sar, and I'm a sophomore at Panther Creek High School, and I am a daughter. and I am a daughter of immigrants. My parents are just two of over 14 million lawful immigrants living within the United States. 14 million people who are introducing innovative ideas and entrepreneurial spirit to our economy, developing new technologies, and are in a constant endeavor of enriching America's culture. Yeah. Growing up, I noticed that my parents were always working hard, defying stereotypes, and taking advantage of the opportunities that this country has provided them. But that is not the case for all. As a daughter of immigrants, it is my responsibility to continue to enrich America's culture and lend fire to the fuel that is the American and immigrative spirit. Yeah. It's this spirit, this willingness to overcome, to persist, to persevere in spite of obstacles that is being doubted by our government. They do not believe in the potential that such people can bring. It is up to us to empower the people who have had and are continuing to have such a profound impact on our society, the very same people who during the course of the past couple of years have not been able to reach their fullest potential. In a post-9/11 world, longtime critics of immigration have tried to exploit legitimate concerns about security to argue for drastic cuts in immigration. Right. With Trump's presidency came a plethora of politics aimed at ridding the U.S. of foreigners. He implemented the travel ban, banning foreign nationals from seven predominantly Muslim countries. Yay. Then, as if that weren't enough, came the Trump's administration's plan to repeal DACA, which provides a level of amnesty to certain undocumented immigrants, many of whom came to the U.S. as children, innocent children. Yes. Furthermore, he allowed for the separation of children from their families at the border. Yay! Our very own North Carolina politicians are denying in-state college tuition to students who are undocumented immigrants. Is this really what we have allowed our nation to become?
No!
One that tears children from their parents, denies education to those who so rightfully deserve it, a nation based upon conceited views and values and still tries to justify its virtue?
No.
It is simply paper that is the barrier between an individual's access to higher education and thus control of their fate, their destiny. Such policies cast a shadow over the young people of this generation, an abundance of untapped capability that is willing to inspire change, bring about a revolution. These are young people who will grow to teach at our schools, find the cure to cancer, fight in our armies, and essentially lead our tomorrow. These immigrants, these young people are just people like us, change makers, visionaries, trendsetters. Instead of being obsessed with nabbing foreign-born migrants whose only crime is their willingness to pursue a better life, we should try to encourage those who have sought out our country. Taking such people out is a direct contradiction to the meaning of being an American. It is the violation of morality and of human decency. Such an issue must strike a chord in our hearts. It must bring about a sense of urgency to restore humanity and not to trade it for hostility. We must be inclusive of people from all walks of life, immigrant or not. Too many people still view diversity as adversity, yet it is inclusion that sparks grit. It motivates. Yes, it allows us to dig deeper when achieving our goals. And when inclusion becomes the norm, it becomes culture. The question of whether or not we are American isn't answered by a thicket of papers or the color of our skin or the faith we follow. It is our willingness to believe that we are all created equal, invest in our pursuit of happiness, seize the life that we live and make the best of it, and to stand up and to speak out. Congress has a responsibility towards this nation's young people that must be upheld. And if they are not fulfilling such responsibilities, the task is then placed upon the people, further enforcing that the country we live in is truly people for the people.
That's right.
Thank you.
The Posada is getting ready to move to our final destination, to the General Assembly for our final words.
Of immigrants with different nationalities and ethnicities from all over the world. Immigration continues to contribute to many different aspects and different growth of ideas and economic growth. Whether we know it or not, we are all either third, second, or first generation immigrants. This land has never been ours, and it has belonged to the Native Americans, whom we pushed out. Why are Americans scared of bringing immigrants into this country? Are they scared that the immigrants will make the same mistake that they made many years ago? Why
many jobs in fields such as medicine, engineering, and agriculture are comprised of immigrants. In a news article I saw, a California avocado farm was lacking many different workers due to the absence of immigrants. Where are your American-born workers now? I'm Alina Khan, and I am a daughter of two Pakistani immigrants who moved here to seek a better job and better life to raise three amazing children. I feel that having an immigrant background helps me perceive my perception of different trending political issues has broadened due to being an American-born immigrant from immigrant parents. The diversity of ideas and opinions brings innovation in our American society. For many years, especially from our recent president, the perceptions of immigration rely on prejudice and ignorance.
Yes.
People are telling Mexicans and people are telling Syrian and Yemeni refugees to go back to their countries. Shame. When the reason that they escaped their countries is to escape gang violence and terrorism.
Yes.
Their life is on the line every day and they fear for their children and infants. When the Mexicans attempted to cross the border and were tear gassed, many Americans called out the Mexican parents for bringing their children here. If you have a problem with it, why did you choose to put your children in the first place? The reason they brought their children here was to escape them being killed by gang members and drug lords.
Come on, talk about it.
The cause and reason for these massive caravans is often ignored and only seen as diseases and bringing rape culture and drugs. The cause of these caravans is to escape these things that is happening in their home countries.
Yes.
They were not given the option to escape. That was their only reason. These immigrants, many people fear these immigrants from coming here because they fear that they will not assimilate to our society and not learn how to speak English fast enough. But America is based on, America relies on these different diverse cultures to contribute to our society every day.
Yes.
All American innovation has been relying since as long as we know it from different backgrounds and different cultures. We have long traded ideas with Middle Eastern countries and with South American countries as well. I feel that throughout my childhood, having an immigrant background has helped me see other people's point of views in different aspects of different political topics. I feel that I have been able to sympathize with all people from all different backgrounds based on my own. How I have been raised has been very different from how we know now in American culture. America has never had their own culture. We have only been a nation of immigrants, as we know.
That's right. Yes.
That's who we are.
All right.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Reverend Dr. Rodney Sadler. I'm standing here today on behalf of the Reverend Dr. T. Anthony Spearman, the president of the NAACP. We all know the story. In the second chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus' parents were forced to migrate due to political forces beyond their control. They had to travel because government agencies forced them by illegitimate policies to become refugees. Yes. Sounds like a familiar story to me. They were seeking a place to stay in a city called Bethlehem. And when they got there, there was no place for them in the Katalumati, in the inn. As a result, Mary gave birth to Jesus outside of the comforts of human life, outside of the safe space where travelers went to lodge. She had to have him born and laid in a manger. Now, this is a troubling story, to be sure. It's a horrible way for the Savior of the world, the hope of the future, to come into the world, to have to be left outside, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, I have to be honest with you. I am an archaeologist. I know that some parts of this story are wrong. You realize that Jesus was not born in a stable in the middle of Europe in the Middle Ages. When Jesus was born outside of the inn in Bethlehem would have been a grotto, a cave. And in the cave, there would have been a lower part where people engaged in work and activity and where people stored their animals. And in the upper part would be the place where people would live and work in fellowship. So in essence, what happened with Jesus is he was born in the lower part of the house, the part where the animals were, but at least he was born inside the house. What I want to say is that the way that we're treating immigrant children, the way that we're treating DACA recipients is worse than baby Jesus was treated. We're leaving them on the outside. After all, what would you call it if you brought people to this country and you let them pay taxes, but you did not give them an equal access to education? What would you call it if you had children sitting side by side with their sisters and brothers in school their entire lives, but when it came time for college, we made them pay more than the others did? We're leaving them on the outside. In essence, it's time to bring those who've been left out back in. It's time to bring those who have been DACA recipients back in. It's time to have equal pay for equal education. It's time to give all God's children an equal opportunity. This is not new. This is nothing I came up with. Long ago, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, God said it this way. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien, the immigrant, the DACA recipient as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We are specifically instructed that we are not to oppress the alien, not to treat them differently, not to charge them more, but to treat them exactly the same as the native-born citizen. It always disturbs me when I realize that we are a nation of immigrants and imports. We are all people who were brought here from someone else, and unless we are indigenous, Native American, Indian, we are all immigrants. Therefore, we are called to treat all others with the same welcome that we received when we came here, no worse for anyone else. Amen?
Amen.
But I think the most important part of this comes at the end of that statement I just read, where God said, Ani Yahweh Elohekem, I am the Lord your God. You see, what I'm saying to you today is not just some sort of strange liberal politics. I'm not speaking to you some new progressive ideology. I'm not talking to you about Democratic versus Republican policies. I'm saying this is what the Lord God said. We are to welcome the immigrant as equals because God said that we are to do so. And I have a feeling that God probably meant it. Because you know what? At the end of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking to the people and he says, whatever you do to the alien, you do to me. The way that we treat the alien, the immigrant, the DACA recipient is the way that we would treat Jesus if Jesus were standing here with us today. How are we treating Jesus? Are we going to treat Jesus like an equal? So let me say this to you today. This Christmas, let us do what we should with the Christmas spirit. This Christmas, let us do what we can with our Christian spirit. Let us welcome the alien, the immigrant, all of our children, as though we would welcome God, God's self, if God were among us. This is our future. This is our hope. And if you believe in Christmas, This is the Christmas story. God bless you all.
Wow. Had to follow Reverend Sadler, huh? As we wrap up this event, we have one final word for our governor and our legislative body. Understand, and we want the media to get this, understand, Governor Cooper, and to our legislators, we don't want to be here. We are here due to an injustice that continues, and we stand here because that injustice has followed us 12 years. 12 years we have been coming here to the General Assembly. 12 years we have been asking for equal access to an education. This is the year that we will go into battle like we've never gone before. Yeah. Understand to the legislative body that now leaves their positions. Yeah. You have failed. Yeah. You have failed the state. And look at all these faces. Yeah. This is our future. Yeah. You have failed them. And you have decided to take the road of oppression in doing so. Now understand, I don't take that word lightly. Oppression is a horrible thing to say to someone. But we're going to speak truth to power. Yes. And the reality is this. You oppress the very people that have lived, that have worked, and that pay taxes in the state to build the state and this economy. You have oppressed, and you are guilty of it. Yeah. To the governor and the new legislative body coming in, we say to you, we stand here in solidarity and say, this is not about Democrat or Republican. This is about right and wrong. Yeah. Yeah. This is about that when you oppress people, you are literally saying that they are not worthy and only a certain segment of the society is, although the immigrant community helps the citizens in this country fulfill their American dream. That is a true immoral and injustice act to take upon someone that you're saying we are human beings. No human being is illegal. No human being is illegal. We are in a season for so many people that is an extraordinary season of faith. When we're supposed to be coming together, if you consider these faces standing here before you illegal, you say the same thing about the Lord in a season that you're celebrating and that you are asking that this is your Lord, but yet you treat these faces as immigrant, but you want to uplift and hold the Christmas spirit. That is hypocrisy. Amen. In its biggest form. So, what we're saying is this, clearly. What you're doing to the immigrants by denying equal access to a cave and to an education is an immoral action.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, Reverend Sadler, yes. I'm not a reverend, but I was raised in a Christian home.
Go ahead.
Come on, Adam.
Okay.
And
in Matthew 22:37-39, uh-huh. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, for this is the first and greatest commandment. But the second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Yeah. And I want you to understand something, that the word love in that verse is an action word.
It is
a verb, it is an action word. And we stand here today taking action against this legislative body that continually governs against immigrants.
That's right.
And we will not stand what we say is this: somebody's been hurting my brothers and sisters, and it's gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. Forward together, yet one step back. Adelante juntos, ni un peso atrás.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
I am an American.
An American.
I am.
I am. An American.
I am.
An American. Okay. I'm sorry. I was told I did not. I did not give my name. I'm Anna y la Raza Blackburn. I am the Latinx immigrant liaison for the North Carolina NAACP. I am also the co-chair for the North, one of the co-chairs for the North Carolina Poor People's Campaign. We want to thank you all for coming. We want to thank you all for standing here in solidarity with us. And to all that are here, let me remind you, we need you. We need you back at the GA. We need you here. This is not a single event. So one of the ways that we want to get everybody stirred up, get ready to tackle these issues, get ready to confront our governor and our legislative body. One of the things that we have going on, and Clinton can raise his hand and you can get a flyer from him, we've got a watch service going on December 31st at Poland Church. And this is to get a stand in solidarity and prepare for the year coming up. And this is one of the issues that we will be attacking. So please see Clinton so you can get that flyer. And we hope to see you all there. And we don't want to be here again next year. Thank you. You're all going safe. Let's have Reverend Sadler come up and give us a closing blessing so we have safe travel.
Let's look to the Lord. Lord, we are here at this holy time of year. We are here at this time when we await with great expectation your birth into this world, the birth of hope, the birth of justice, the birth of equality. We are awaiting that to come, Lord. We are waiting that justice will come and be born anew in this General Assembly building behind us, Lord. We are waiting that our senators and our representatives and our governor will wake up with a new sense of justice in their hearts, Lord. We are one state, and may we all pay one rate, whether born here or immigrating here. Lord, we ask that as your refugee son traversed this earth, that others who are refugees would find justice in this world at this time. We come to you in many names, but at this holy season, I come to you in the name of your son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we all together say, amen.
Amen. Let's get everybody over here to take a picture. Everybody over to take a picture. All the speakers in the front.
Come on.
I know. Let's get in and squeeze in, everybody. Squeeze in. Come on, everybody. Get in this picture. This is him.
Hey everyone, after the picture, join us at the NAACP headquarters, 1001 Wade Avenue.
Is that where you gonna stand?
Silent anymore.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one.